and she's ready.
Recording in progress.
All right. I'd like to call the meeting to order, Kandia Zoder Board of Adjustment. If you'd please rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. For the record, this is July 27th, 2021. Sitting on the board this evening, to my left is Judith Zott, I'm Bob Petron, Boyd Chivers, Ron Howe, Mark Ramakaitis. Joining us as alternate to the board, Tony Steinmetz. Lisa Galicia is the recording secretary and has handled the applications, as you probably have already met her. So thanks for that. Lisa, would you please present the first case?
Thank you. New business, case 21-006, applicant Nathan Duran, 444 Brown Road, Kandy, New Hampshire, 03034. Owner, Nathan and Brianna Duran, 444 Brown Road, Kandy, New Hampshire, 03034. Property location, same, map 414, lot 26. For a special exception, under Article 5, Section 5.02A2, Table of Use Regulations, type of land use, residential. Intent, to allow the construction of a 495-square-foot accessory dwelling unit within an existing space in our home.
Very good, thank you. And the abutters have been notified?
Yes.
Any abutters present this evening? If you wish to speak tonight, you'll have an opportunity at some point.
Great,
thank you. And the applicant is? Would you please introduce yourself for the record, please?
This is Nate Duran of 444 Brown Road.
Very good. You can approach a table if you'd like and lay out your plan. Let us know what you're thinking about.
Yeah. So you have a copy in there, I believe. And fairly simple.
And this is going to be attached to an existing dwelling. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. This is above the existing garage.
This is above an existing two-stall garage.
Correct.
Is that correct? Clear? All right. So none of this is currently finished over the garage. You're going to finish that off?
No, it is currently finished. But there's going to be an addition of plumbing and electric.
Okay. To make it a... Is there heat in there now?
There is a heat in there now, yes.
Existing bedroom?
It was an office, technically. I don't know. Because I believe a bedroom has to have closets. So their primary use there was an office and then, like I said, auxiliary space.
So we're adding a bathroom, a little kitchenette.
Yes.
Bedroom, living area. And entrance and egress is going to be how? I don't see stairs on this.
Yep.
Oh, I do. I'm sorry.
That's these guys right
outside.
Here.
Yep. Exactly.
Outside the structure.
No, that's actually still within the structure.
Okay.
Yes. So these sort of come up here and then you're in that main living area and these go down to the garage.
Okay. What we're missing here is where this all falls on the lot.
Mm-hmm.
How are our setbacks? Where is it? Is everything all good with the septic design?
Yes. So I don't. There should have been a copy of the septic design. I had it redesigned.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes its way here, but that was approved by the state a few weeks ago.
We haven't got a copy of it yet. Usually do.
Okay.
You've already gotten your.
Yeah, and I can. Yeah, I feel bad. I should have brought that. As
Kevin has been out to the site, is that correct?
No.
Kevin, the building inspector.
No, he's not been out to the site yet. No.
Okay.
Because we haven't received anything from DES for it.
Okay.
So when you said you had it redesigned, this is for what? An additional two bedrooms?
An additional bedroom. Yes.
So are you?
For an ADU. It was redesigned to accept an ADU.
So does that mean you have to reconstruct the leach field now?
No. So from all of my talks with them and the state, they say as long as they have a design on file for what the septic system will be, then we're good up until the point of failure. And if there is ever a point of failure, we would have to replace with that existing,
okay.
with that new design.
So you can proceed as you are right now?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming all setbacks are good. This is over an existing garage, so
right.
We're not
must be.
Right.
Not dealing with any setbacks, I guess, really.
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
Did Kevin look at the plot plan, or did we pull out the card and look at the plot plan of the house or anything, the tax card?
No.
Because that would show the setbacks and things, wouldn't it? Or tell
it's
the
an
setback.
Existing space.
In parking is good.
Yeah.
I mean.
What's the acreage, just by the way?
11, a little over 11.
Okay,
yeah.
As long as you're
and
sort of in the middle of
plenty of parking,
it.
Yeah. Again, the septic design will also show the overall layout of the building. So I don't know if that would help smooth things over, but...
I don't know that it's an issue.
No, I think with 11 acres, he's got...
Unless he was tucked into a corner of that 11 acres, but...
You're not changing the footprint of the property.
No.
So I guess, I mean, the other ADUs we've seen, we would typically, Kevin would say, hey, I've already been there, I've made sure that the setbacks are all set, I've confirmed that the septic design is done, so we don't have that today, is this an issue?
I think not.
No.
You could, if you want to approve it, it could be conditional upon him presenting them, Kevin, with the...
Yeah, Kevin obviously has to sign off as part of his responsibility.
Right.
And I'm sorry, by setbacks, we mean like structural setbacks, or...
From the boundaries, from the lot lines.
Oh, I see.
Side, back, front.
You almost have to assume that it meets, is it a fairly new house?
It was built in 96.
Yeah, you almost have to assume.
The point is, it doesn't matter if it doesn't meet the setbacks anyway, because it's a pre-existing structure.
The footprint doesn't change.
The footprint's not changing, if it's non-conforming, it's a pre-existing non-conforming lot, or they would have picked that up, you know, 96, you're talking 20 years ago.
Okay.
Over 20 years ago, 25 years, someone would have picked that up.
You're right.
So whether, wherever it sits on the lot is moot, and because he's not changing anything.
Can I go over the accessory dwelling unit requirements?
Sure, before you do that, Boyd, I want to entertain any questions or comments.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Tony.
Currently, the current structure has 2.5 baths, right?
Yes, 2.5.
So this will be 3.5.
Correct.
This is a 3/4 bath you're putting in, or a half?
It is a 3/4 bath, yeah, because it'll be a stand-up shower.
And whoever did the septic design said this is cool. With the amount of people living in the house, which is another unknown.
Yes. So, yeah, I had like an engineering company come out, and they did soil samples and all the rest of it. And, yeah, and I guess the parameters are actually different if you're just adding a bathroom as opposed to a full ADU. So the full ADU is actually a little bit larger. So he has, yeah, he would have sized the new drawings per that specification.
So... septic is by bedrooms, not by bathrooms. So you can
right, add, I understand, yeah.
Yeah.
So it means nothing that they're adding one or two extra. It's not going to affect the septic design.
Bathrooms, you mean?
Right.
Okay.
And
okay.
An ADU is actually 1.5 bedrooms. That's what it's considered.
Yes,
so that's
yes,
what they
that's what
designed
I
for. So you can actually add one to that.
Mm-hmm. So they consider that 1.5 bedrooms.
Yep.
Not two.
And that actually, it notes it on the bottom of the acceptance and the approval from DES right on the bottom of the page for it.
Good. So, thanks for that clarity.
Yep.
And you, sir, are the abutter? Any questions or comments?
No questions or comments.
Okay.
Have absolutely no issue with this. And
good. You're a neighboring abutter.
Neighboring abutter, yes.
Same side of the road.
Yeah, Richard Cox, 452 Brown Road.
Very good, sir. Thank you.
Sorry, I almost didn't recognize you there. Sorry. I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, yeah.
Nathan, this is actually all of the bedroom. It's bedroom sitting area. Is that correct? It looks like it's a bedroom and it's a sitting area. So it's like this is all kind of an open area. It's together, those sitting, the bedroom.
Yes, yes. So, sorry, this is actually.
Because it says, I think this says sitting area. That's
yes.
What I assumed it said.
Yep, that's correct. That's correct, yeah. So there's...
Because I'm thinking that this is, like, that's a really, really...
Small, right,
small bedroom.
And the drawing's a little off scale, basically.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. As I'm looking at it, yeah, it's a bit off scale. But yes, that is correct. That is correct.
All right, so that's an all, that's sleeping, whatever, area.
Correct. Correct. And then,
living,
like you said,
living, kitchen, bathroom.
Correct. Yeah, a little bit of nook out there for the kitchen.
Okay.
All right. And we did a couple calculations, and I think we settled on 495 in agreement with the map. I'm still way under 750.
Sure.
So I don't have any questions or comments on that. Ron, do you have anything to say?
Yeah.
You always have something to say.
Yeah, I do. Actually, I'm confused as to why we're even here with this. This is under 600 square feet in an existing structure. What is it that we have to...
It's an ADU.
Yep.
It's an accessory dwelling unit. It has to have a special exception.
But do all special accessory dwelling units?
Yes.
Yes.
Regardless of square footage, 750 being the max.
It's in the zoning.
Okay.
Yeah. And that extra kitchen puts it over the top, makes it...
Well, yeah, I...
I mean, you can imagine, he could, if he, the thing that makes this, once you put in the kitchen, now you have another separate living unit.
Yeah, I understand that.
So that's what makes it an ADU.
I thought that we had basically approved this as long as it was under X number of square feet.
By special exception.
And didn't have other problems, and there's no other issues here.
And there's 10 other conditions it has to meet, though.
And...
Right.
Okay, and we can go through those conditions. If there's no longer any questions or comments, I'll close it to the public. We'll go through the criteria. We can vote on it and perhaps come up with a disposition sooner than later.
So we'll answer the following questions.
So let me close it to the public then, if you folks are all set. All right, and Lisa, if you're on track with us, Boyd's going to commence with the stipulations.
Okay, there are 502E. There shall be no more than one accessory dwelling unit for any single family dwelling. I think we meet that.
Yep.
I got that. No, it's 1504E. There shall be no more than two bedrooms in the accessory dwelling unit.
Okay.
Adequate sewer and water shall be provided. One septic system shall serve the entire property. And the adequacy of the system shall be certified by a licensed septic installer.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a maximum of 750 square feet for the ADU. On-site parking for one additional vehicle shall be provided. All existing setback requirements are met. Accessory unit shall be within or attached to the main dwelling unit. You meet that one. Architectural enhancements will be employed for the purpose of maintaining continuity with the principal dwelling, resulting in both units appearing in a single family dwelling. You've already got that. It's right over your
already line. There.
I mean, that's done. Either the primary or the accessory dwelling unit shall be occupied by the owner of the property. And the current state building and fire codes for two family dwellings shall apply.
Yes.
So you got to build this thing to that code.
Yes.
Which Kevin will take care of.
Very good.
And then we have a special exception standards. You want to go over those?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead, please.
Okay. A no hazard to the public. This is section 1502 of the ordinance. No hazard to the public or adjacent property on account of potential fire, explosion, or release of toxic materials. Agreed? No. Here.
Okay. Beatron, aye.
Zod, aye.
Chivers, aye.
Howe, aye.
Romakaitis, aye.
No detriment to property value in the vicinity or change in the neighborhood on account of the location or scale of the buildings and other structures, parking areas, access ways, odor, smoke, gas, dust, or other pollutant noise, glare, heat, vibration, or unsightly outdoor storage of equipment, vehicles, or other materials. Chivers, aye.
Beatron, aye.
Zod, aye.
Romakaitis, aye.
No creation of a traffic hazard or substantial increase in the level of traffic congestion in the vicinity. Chivers, aye.
Beatron, aye.
Zod, aye.
Romakaitis, aye.
Howe, aye.
No excessive demand on municipal services, including but not limited to water, sewer, waste disposal, police, and fire and schools. Chivers, aye.
Beatron, aye.
Zod, aye.
Romakaitis, aye.
Howe, aye.
And lastly, no significant increase in stormwater runoff onto adjacent property or streets. Chivers, aye.
Beatron, aye.
Zod, aye.
Romakaitis, aye.
Howe, aye.
All right. I'd entertain a motion.
Having met all the special exception standards and the requirements for an ADU, I move we grant approval to Mr. Duran for accessory dwelling unit on map 414, lot 26.
All right, I recognize the motion. Any second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Judith. All in favor? Aye.
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 This was the...
Oh, Petron, aye.
Yeah. Zod, aye.
Romakaitis, aye.
Howe, aye.
Chivers, aye.
All right. So with a unanimous decision, you'll get a notice of decision.
Excellent.
So that you can proceed with the project.
Great.
So congratulations on that, and good luck with your upcoming project.
Thank you very much.
And with that said,
yes.
Before I let you go, you gentlemen, the only two participating public, I want to remind you that it's always a good thing, a charitable thing to do, to get involved in the town. So if you find it in your heart to say, I think I want to get on board with the zoning board or the planning board or any kind of board committee in town, the town doesn't run itself, and if you can find it clear to say, I can give an hour a month, next month we have nothing. So last month we had nothing. So even to say it's an hour a month is a stretch. And if you found it in your hearts to get involved, I'd encourage you, and I would thank you in advance to say, we need people who want to come down here and get involved and help the community grow and bring in young people who want to do things and get involved, and it's all good.
Sure.
So that's the end of my pitch, but I feel somewhat obliged.
You got your soapbox today.
No, that's great. Yeah, we have a small boy and another one on the way, so we intend on raising our family here in this town. Yeah. So I'm sure you'll be seeing more of us.
Good. Well,
yeah.
Well, that's not a bad
boy
thing.
Boy and I have been on the board since we had small kids, and we both have grandkids.
All right. Well, that's the goal, right?
He and I have been
yeah.
this
so give it some thought.
We're looking for a replacement.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe one day.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
You've already been subject to one meeting.
Right.
And it went all right.
Yeah. So far, so good. Yeah.
Maybe you find something. Come down next Tuesday and see what goes on down there. And say, you know what? I'm going to give a little bit of my time.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Get involved and you get to know people and you get to see the applicants come in and you meet them. And
sure.
You just meet people, and that's what makes the town run, because without that kind of volunteers, and these people show up. These are volunteers here, and they show up all the time. They come in, they do their homework, they figure out what's going on, they do a drive-by.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the properties we can see from the road, but
not mine.
it's a minimal commitment, and so am I done with my pitch again?
No.
Okay. Good luck with the project.
Thank you very much. Yep. Thank you.
So you don't need anything from me. I can head out, or
you can. All set.
All right. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you again.
We'll take care of you. You get yourself.
Send me a copy of that.
Yeah. Just email it. Okay, yeah. Perfect.
Usually they'll send it in the mail and we get an email.
Okay.
So just waiting for it. But send me a copy. And then
awesome. Yeah, I can actually do that right now when I get home.
Sounds good.
All right, awesome.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much. Good to see you.
Great. Thanks again, folks. Old business, approval of minutes of May 25th.
I move the minutes be approved as presented by Lisa.
I second that. All in favor? Petron, aye.
Zod, aye.
Boyd, aye.
Chow, aye. Ramakaitis, abstain.
All right. And Tony, you get to vote on that as you were a sitting member last on that particular month in May.
Steinmetz, aye.
Steinmetz, aye. Have you recorded that, Lisa?
Yes, I have.
All right. Any other business to come before the board? I have two items I'd like to discuss.
Okay.
First item is a proposed time change for this meeting, moving it up in time. I'm thinking that 6 o'clock might be too early, as people might work till 5 or 5:30 or even 6. I'm wondering if we can shave a half an hour. We would no doubt need approval from Board of Selectmen, but I bring it up to get your thoughts. Do we entertain moving the ZBA meeting time to 6:30 instead of 7? What do you think?
What's your reason?
Well, that would be a change of our rules, so we don't even we need to follow the procedures in our manual for the change of rules. So we got to notice a meeting, talk about it, then do it a second time, second meeting, and then it becomes part of our, because they don't set our times, we do.
Okay.
It's in that procedure, our manual of procedures.
So I asked the question: is there a pro or a con to it?
Well, we've always done it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. What do you think, Lisa? Would you like to get home a half an hour earlier?
I would love that, you guys. I would love that.
Just because we've always done it at 7.
Yeah. I'm just wondering. I agree, but Lisa's been here since 3 o'clock. Yeah.
And her normal quitting time is 3.
30.
Yeah. All right. If it helps, Lisa, I would say we should consider it.
The only negative I have, and I don't have a problem with 6:30, but thinking about the board makeup next month or next year or 5 years from now, you might get a professional who unfortunately is working in the city of Boston, and 7 o'clock becomes tough. So if it's 6:30 or 7, it doesn't bother me either way. But for some people, depending on their work day, it may create issues.
I don't know if the time is the deal killer, that people don't get involved with the ZBA going, oh shit, I gotta do a 7 o'clock meeting. I can't do 7.
No.
I don't know that the time is a deal killer. And I'm not being pro or or against
I'm
it.
Just curious why you, other than Lisa, and I can understand your
Is there a reason not to? I only raise the question because if we don't re-examine why we do things, mm-hmm. only to say we've done this way for so long, I'm not sure that's the reason.
Yeah.
Having done it this way for so long is not a good answer.
No, absolutely not. And if we decide that it's not appropriate to change it, then we stay at 7 and we kill the discussion.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Okay, that's a good argument also.
I mean,
I'd go either way on it. I think that 6 o'clock is not good.
If it helps Lisa, I mean, that's the only valid concern. I mean, this was, she'd been here since, 8:30 this morning.
Well, and Kevin often participates as well.
And Kevin, yeah. Too. So, I mean, I think we should take that into consideration. It'd be a valid reason.
What's the proper procedure? Do we talk about it next month
next meeting? I think we have to look in our procedure, but there's a very specific procedure for it. We have to notice it. We have to hold a meeting. We have to notice it. Then we have to do it a second time, and then it becomes, part of.
So we talk about it now. I'll notice it for our next meeting.
Yeah.
And it's not to create turmoil. I'm only asking the question.
Yeah.
I think re-examining things that are normal, it's not a bad thing, you know.
If we decide it stays at 7, then it stays at 7. Right. There's no hard feelings.
Yeah. I know what this is. Yeah. This is not going to be it. I don't have it.
It should be in the bylaws.
Yeah, it's in my other book. I don't have it.
Okay, so do you want to just call that quits for now?
Yeah, put it on the agenda for next time. Okay. Start satisfying the requirement.
Yeah, and we just need to check the rules of procedure, because it tells in the rules, our rules of procedure, the exact procedure that we have to follow to do that. The noticing and everything. So we'll just...
Our
bylaws.
Are you going to make a note of that, Lisa? Yes.
Which I believe it's 3 meetings, so...
Like, yeah, we that, talk sound, about it that now, sounds familiar.
Then I can notice it for the next meeting, so I can put it... I'll check if it has to go in the paper. I'm not really sure if it's in the paper or not.
Okay.
But I will do that if it needs to go into the paper, and then that's where you guys would vote on it, and then the third one is where you would actually adopt it.
Yes.
So. All right. So, ending that discussion, one more item I wanted to bring up was fire suppression, because we never talk about it. When did that go away?
What do you mean?
At one time, there was a rule or an ordinance that new construction had to have fire suppression systems. And so now we've been approving ADUs with never a discussion about fire suppression in these units.
Well,
I did understand that the fire suppression thing went away.
Well, there'd be the smoke alarm, but that's part of that's a code issue, which Kevin would make sure it was there. And as far as if you're thinking about wet sprinklers,
I am.
Town has never had that I'm aware of.
No, that's erroneous. My home was built in 2010, and when you walk in from the garage to the basement, I have a giant tank of water, and all the rooms have sprinkler heads in them.
Oh, yeah. But this was not...
was code at that time.
In a single-family home.
It was single-family.
But Boyd, when you were reading 1504, you mentioned there was something about one of the provisions is it has to meet the
state fire codes.
State fire codes. And so the problem is, do state fire codes require sprinkler systems in accessory dwelling units?
No, not state. The fire suppression system in my home, I believe, was driven by Candium.
It was.
And I thought that it went away.
At one time, it was a requirement.
And so the question I have is, when did it go away?
Not sure,
know? In 2010, it was active.
Yeah.
I believe that some communities enacted wet fire suppression systems as a means of slowing down rapid growth by increasing the cost of construction and slowing down the cost of construction.
Well, that isn't happening these days.
Making the house more expensive. Now, that was the case in Chester, New Hampshire many years ago, and there are other communities that followed the same. And I don't know, but some of those rules may have been relaxed when, there was some kickback from builders and people saying, look, you're pricing me out of my neighborhood because we're driving up the cost of this structure. So, back 20, 25, 30 years ago, raising the price of the house was something that was done by planning boards in order to slow down growth.
Mm. So to answer my question is, we don't know when... that for sure it was ever a thing. Mm-hmm. And secondly, when did it become obsolete? Because we don't talk about it anymore.
And that's a function of just looking at the old zoning ordinances.
It must have went through.
Kevin? Because it might be new codes that he, because he doesn't. If
Kevin's here, maybe Kevin can fill us in on this.
And if he doesn't know, that's okay. He doesn't need to dig through anything.
But it, Lisa can check. Lisa has all the old ordinances. So when she has a few minutes, which she doesn't, you know, she can check through and find, like you said in 2010, it was there. So if you check the 2010 ordinance and then look at the next time the ordinance was changed and see if that section was removed, when that section was removed, you can track it to when it, because we did that, there was something else we were looking at and we tracked it to a time when it just disappeared, something disappeared from zoning.
Your property's not part of a cluster development?
It is not.
Yeah, because they were popular in cluster developments because of density for a period of time as well.
But I don't think we have a, when they built the first cluster, there was nothing.
No, I don't remember it at all, and I've been here for more than 10 years on the ZBA.
Well, yeah, I'm going out 35.
I don't remember it at all. I mean, I'm sure you're right. You know, the other question, and I thought of it, and then it was too late. A second exit from a overhead garage like that we didn't require that.
But that's a code issue.
Doesn't NFPA require a second exit?
And I think that becomes in with fenestration, when the windows have to be a certain square footage to allow an air pack to go through, a man with an air pack. And that's all code.
That's code, yeah. But you don't have to physically have a second exit?
That's correct.
Just have to have a window large enough.
That's correct. One door and window. Kevin, what can you lend to that conversation about fire suppression, wet fire suppression?
Right. We are doing it unless there's a waiver from the fire department for other reason, whether it's a cistern or there's, but like all of the houses up here, Maplewood all have fire suppression.
So it's not obsolete?
No.
It's still enforced?
If there's, we don't do them for ADUs because they're existing structures and there's just an addition to the existing structure, you'd have to go back and I guess they're exempt because of the existing, at the time, the existing structure doesn't have a fire suppression system.
I see. Okay. So it's still a real thing?
Yeah.
So the concern we had was that this one was above an existing garage.
Yeah. So that fire, there is fire protection. An existing garage would have to be brought to compliant, code compliant, and have the proper fire code sheetrock protection and so forth, and they also have a heat detector that's connected to the smoke detector system, so they would have to add that. I would make sure when I did inspections that it's code compliant. You can't have an egress through a garage. If there's any type of egress in a home, can be considered through a garage.
It's got to be to the outside. In this case, it's to the outside.
Yeah.
One is acceptable.
One means of egress. Yeah. Yep. And then the bedrooms have to have large enough windows for someone to get out, firemen to get in there. Mm-hmm. Attic access is also going to be large enough.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification on that. I've got no other commentary under other business. Does anybody else have any other business? Tony's got a comment. Thanks, Kevin.
Yep.
Thank you.
I don't know if this is right or not, but...
Under the amendment? This is the rules of procedure.
Rules of procedure shall be adopted or amended by a majority vote at a regular meeting of the board, provided that such new rules or amendments are proposed and discussed prior to the meeting at which the vote is taken and shall be placed on file with the city or town clerk and be available for public inspection. This is the state, is that correct? This is the state handbook. We have in our, and I don't know if you have it in here, we have rules of procedure where we've set similar.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. That's in the state handbook. But I know that it's in our rules of procedure. And I just pared down because I didn't bring my big.
Dude, I got it right here. Under our bylaws, Article 5. Can we read it?
Yep.
Change of date of regular meeting. If the due date of the regular monthly meeting must be changed, notice shall be given at least 21 days before the rescheduled date by posting it at the Canadian Post Office and town offices and by putting the notice in the paper. The notice shall contain the date change, the reason for the change, and the new deadline for accepting applications for that meeting. So probably the time change would fall into that one. Yeah. So it's a 21-day notice at the post office, according to Article 5 of the...
And the newspaper. So that's where public notice is necessary.
Yep.
So we've talked about it now. I'll notice it for a time change.
Yeah.
For the next meeting. You guys will vote on it. And then if it's approved, it will go for the third meeting just to publicly say this is being adopted on this date.
And that probably won't change the number of days required to have the application in before the meeting if we're only moving it a half an hour.
No, because I only have to notice it 10 days before, basically.
All right.
All right. I don't mean to gum up the works, but we'll talk about it.
Looking at now you've got me confused, at this drawing here, it shows these stairs coming up. Do you think that's physically outside?
Yeah, I think so.
And this,
that's where, you said,
where it shows unheated. Up here, is where it goes into the house.
Well, I thought it was unheated, which led me to believe it was outside.
I mean, you have to have, if they were using this as office space.
Oh, but no, I guess the key is, where is the door? Not where's the stairs, but where's the door? And the door goes to outside, not in the garage. Correct?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't show a door. It doesn't really show everything.
It doesn't show the door.
It doesn't show the house in relation to this.
Well, Kevin will pick up on
that. Yeah, I know. I'm just...
But, Ron, you're right. You are correct that we missed that. That it's not... I don't know. From the way the stairs are, it looks like it's outside.
It goes to outside.
That this is the garage.
Like it's outside
coming from,
and that this...
Yeah.
Drawing the lines here is that the house sits over here.
Yeah.
And that's where they came in from the house.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, I don't know.
Well, it doesn't show a landing at the other end.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Kevin will have to make sure that that doesn't come into the garage.
I didn't have a question when I saw it. I thought it was outside.
Well,
the
building inspector has his role here,
yeah.
And as he just mentioned,
I mean,
you know,
this is all
fire,
minor stuff.
Right, well, the other thing
he's going to have to make sure that the applicant may find things that he wasn't planning on.
Sure.
That will be required by the local code.
Right. Yeah, and you know, he's right. We should have said something about what had to be done to the garage prior to this being done. I mean, the building inspector is going to say that.
If it's not the zoning ordinance, we don't have any authority to tell him that. It's up to Kevin to enforce the ordinance.
That's true. We had one director that was a special exception.
We went over 10 of the minimum standards for an ADU. It's all limited. That's correct.
And the fact that it has to go outside is code enforcement, not zoning.
That's correct. Fire code.
Yeah.
Okay. What else, folks? If there's nothing else, I would entertain a motion.
So moved.
Yeah, also second.
All right. All in favor, Peter and I?
Todd, aye.
Ramakatis, aye.
Okay. Aye.
All right. Mark time, Lisa. What is that, 35?
Not bad, huh?
I have 7:34 over here.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
So at this